The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Always in the upper left on my Zoom, it's Professor Mara Livesey.
Yes, it is me.
How's it going, Mara?
Today's a good day. It's beautiful out, and I'm officially done writing every letter of recommendation I've been asked for.
Wow, that's a big deal. That is a big, big deal. And I knew that you were going to mention the weather because it essentially looks very fall-like for the next few days. And you and I both know that's the best kind of weather that you can have. So
it is.
We have Professor Dan Maggio here with us today. He's not going to be camping out to get a haircut next week.
I'm not. I've thought about it, but I am determined to get one, but I'm not going to do stupid things like
your hair is really out of control, Dan. You know,
it is. You should see me in the morning. It's out of control. But you know what? Everybody else's is too. If you got a haircut and you cheated, you can't hide it.
No, it's true. It's true. Well, apparently someone just came home. So when the door at my house slams relatively loudly, I would guess there's a good chance Professor Dave Chow could hear it.
I think so. You're close enough.
How's it going, Dave?
Not too bad. No complaints. Just got done grocery shopping and back for this.
Mm-hmm. And be sure to let everybody know what you told us when we first logged in. I said, how did the birthday festivities go? And you said,
Bupkis did nothing. Day-old spaghetti, cold.
Ooh,
no, it's strange because this is the first year. I usually go over to Canada for my birthday and think about it. This is the first time the border's been locked down over here.
That's right. That's right.
So it's strange.
For at least another month or so, right? So kind of sad.
Yep. So, Matt, you're not getting pork buns anytime soon. I hope you can hold out.
I have to learn how to make them myself.
Other countries are hoping we will keep President Trump behind our locked borders.
So, right. Those, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Beth Oljar.
Hey, good to be here.
So you're angling for a haircut too?
Yeah, I actually needed one probably before everything shut down and wasn't smart enough to get that done. So now I either really need one or shut off the video on Collaborate and have my students look at a blank screen with my name in it.
I completely understand. I've run into a few people. Now you're added to the list. Who start this kind of a conversation by saying, actually, the very first day we were sent home, I actually had an appointment or something like that. So it's been even longer for you, relatively speaking.
I'm not in the expensive salons of any sort. So as soon as someplace that takes walk-in appointments is open, I'll be there.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. I'm not sure whether to ask him about hair or not. Professor Prasad Venugopal is with us here today.
It's getting long, isn't it?
Yes.
Only from the front. At the back, it's... So
how does your son look by comparison?
Your first mullet?
In the back, and I hate saying this, at the back, I'm already a Dan Lander, so... It shall continue to grow. My idea is not to get a haircut. My idea is to get color in my hair. And so I'm still holding out for that, though my wife has set me up to go get a haircut somewhere on Livernois. So that will happen sometime soon.
What, is this one of those legal places or illegal places? I mean,
I wish it were an illegal place. It's very, very legal. In fact, it's like a hair spa or something like that, which for somebody who prefers a $2 haircut and would get it in India if I were there now. Yeah, that's about my standard.
That's your standard.
Yeah.
Well, we are also blessed to have a guest panelist with us here today. Professor Jacob Kagi is here from the Department of Biology. It's good to have you back, Jacob. Did you say 7 years, 8 years?
It's been a while. I feel like this is like the ongoing Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon beef. But it's almost more fun just to keep my fake beef with you going alive. But I figured if a worldwide pandemic can't bring us together, then, you know, nothing can.
What could? I don't even want to know who's Jimmy Kimmel and who's Matt Damon in this equation.
People can't tell us apart anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, it is true. You guys do look alike. Yeah. A lot more these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next thing that'll happen is that Jacob will only start speaking like this. Matt Damon.
You're thinking about
Team America.
Team America, World Police, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. So you can send us questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook, or you can listen on your favorite smart speaker by saying, play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a wonderful set of questions here, always with really great background sent into us by longtime question sender, Kimberly Richards of Van Nuys, California. And let's see what we can do. To say that Kimberly sends us stuff all over the map is being generous. This is quite a potpourri. What political party did George Washington belong to?
With the Whigs?
Whigs, you know, I would have said Whig if you had asked me, you know, this question point blank, but that's not what it says here.
Not the Republican Democrats. That mm-hmm. came later.
Well, there were Federalists, and then there were Jeffersonian Republicans,
Democratic Republicans. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, what it says here is, at least according to this question, George Washington was the only U.S. president in history not to have been really affiliated with any party. In fact, in his farewell address, he warned the country not to divide into political parties.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness for that advice.
Yeah. Kimberly observes, I probably don't need to say this, but that advice was completely ignored. Oh, my. I'm sorry.
I think Madison thought that the heterogeneity of the country would mean that you would basically have a bunch of minority groups, that there would be such shifting alliances and coalitions.
Right.
It would be difficult for any one group to really get power, certainly to retain it independently of all the rest. But I think he underestimated the influence of money. So.
So in the same vein, but not exactly, previously holding the position as president of Princeton University, which president at the time he took over the United States of America as the executive?
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, nicknamed the professor. Yeah, it was Woodrow Wilson. Absolutely.
That's why the center's named after him.
The White House, really one of our more proud moments, I think.
Mm-hmm. It says Wilson had crafted the Versailles Treaty 14 points, the last of which was creating the League of Nations, which, of course, is the precursor to the UN. It's often ranked by historians as one of our nation's greatest.
One of our greatest presidents?
That's what it says here.
Oh, okay.
Which president is mentioned by name in a famous sitcom theme song? It's a good one.
Ooh, sitcom.
Yep.
Something like Frasier?
My first choice would be Big Bang Theory, because there's lots of stuff mentioned in it.
Yeah.
That's not what it says here, but I think most of that stuff is kind of science-y stuff, personally.
So the president is mentioned in the theme song for the show.
Right. So I'm not telling you the name of the theme song, the song itself, the name of the show, but a president's name in American sitcom theme song.
All in the Family.
Yes, it's All in the Family. Here you go, Michael.
Herbert Hoover.
That's right. Mr. We Could Use a Man Like Herbert Hoover.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those were the days.
Nice one, Michael.
That was nice.
Yeah.
The voice of God. On Zoom.
It's when people lived in cardboard boxes, of course. You know, we could always use those again.
Yeah, what were they? Hoovervilles?
Yeah.
I'm looking, by the way, at Jacob and Beth in particular, like... If you enjoy watching a box that's muted with a name in the middle suddenly spout out an answer, then you can teach online.
I might never see these students, right? I mean, if I don't require them to turn on their video, so I could go a whole semester and teach students that I never see.
I mean, yes. Not just that, Beth, but if you have a lot of video on not using Zoom, so Blackboard, you can kind of clog the internet, to put it lightly, and everything gets really laggy. So you got to be careful when video is turned on. Even though I said that this is usually a hodgepodge from Kimberly, of course, he's got a strong theme going here.
He's in president for 200, Alex.
Yes. Which U.S. president once gambled away the White House china in a game of poker?
Ooh. Which president's got a good tell?
That's got to be in the 19th century, I'm thinking.
Older.
I'm afraid always to guess at these years, and I can hear my wife's voice, the history major, from upstairs. This president is widely described as essentially one of, if not the worst president for an all of American history.
Andrew
Taft.
Jackson.
Jackson. Johnson, I mean.
It's not what I see here.
Taft.
Polk.
This president has been described as, quote, good looking, charming, but out of his depth, and oddly likable.
Is that Coolidge?
Ineptitude. It was not Coolidge.
Mm-mm. That could be Clinton. But...
Rutherford B. Hayes. I just like saying that name. It's a nice name.
Or like Grover Cleveland, right? Just for the Simpsons.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, one more clue, even though I'm not sure it'll particularly
help. Come on, we only got like 45, so...
He evidently agreed with these quoted assessments. I'm a man of limited talents from a small town. I don't even seem to grasp that I am president of these United States.
Polk, Buchanan? Somebody already said Polk, actually.
Yeah.
So he was. Timer, Harrison?
It says here that it was Warren G. Harding.
Yes.
Okay.
He also impregnated someone in the White House, and I think it later became the Republican cloakroom or something, and they still sort of make notice of that fact. When
wow,
that's quite a poker.
He had a mistress, right?
Is there a plaque there now?
Probably.
I slept here and then some.
There's a plaque where the china used to be.
Yeah, exactly.
An IOU.
Oh my goodness. Okay, which university? Let's be serious here. We're talking about undergrad, grad school, law school, can claim the most U.S. presidents as alums.
Harvard, Yale?
It's Harvard, yeah. Harvard. The first president to hold a college degree, who was John Adams, graduated from Harvard, as did his son and sixth president, John Q. Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, JFK also got undergrad degrees. Several other presidents attended the university for graduate school. Rutherford B. Hayes, Barack Obama earned their law degrees, and George W. graduated from the business school. So that's quite a list. Quite a list.
Yeah, Obama was editor of Law Review when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What president of the United States lived at 93 years, 166 days, the absolute longest?
Wait a minute. Isn't Jimmy Carter?
Is that Bush? Bush Sr.?
It says Bush Sr. It says H.W. Bush, 93, 166.
So how old is Jimmy Carter?
I would say that
I think Carter's, he's older than him
here. It says so H.W. Bush beat the previous record held by Ford, who is, oh my gosh, 93 and 165 days when he passed. Jerry Ford. At the time of his death in 2018, Bush was essentially 94 or 164.
The all knowing Google says.
Yeah, I think Google tells us Jimmy Carter
95.
Already beat the record. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't count until, you know, it's closed.
I think Kimberly owes us a mug.
I think so too.
All of us a mug.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so it says at the end that Carter's the oldest living and has less than 100 days to beat HW. So, yep, there you go. June 12th, 1924. Just something about... Oh! Whoa! That's today's date. That's pretty cool. So, happy birthday, President Carter.
Oh.
Oh, today's his birthday.
He's 96.
Yeah, he's 96. Wait,
No. Carter was born on October 1st. No, wrong person. Oh. Some other Carter.
Roslyn
June, Carter. Some Carter was born on October
1st. June Carter. Gary Carter.
Yeah, Carter. Amy.
Nobody knows where Jimmy Carter is right now anyway. He's doing Habitat for Humanity.
He's in Georgia at his home. And
let's see.
His humble home in
small town Georgia.
Professor at my alma mater.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Somebody measured it, and now you get to guess it. How many gallons of paint does it take to cover in one coat the exterior of the White House?
Made this in gallons?
Yeah.
100.
I would
it
say
is more than 100.
Probably
178.
1300.
It's not 1300. That's quite a bit too high.
Oh, if you put a double coat on. Maybe.
No.
One coat.
One thick coat.
Popcorn spackle.
492.
418.
250.
Where's Kendra?
I know. A lot of you are at this right order of magnitude, and Heather always makes fun of me for saying that's close enough. It's a 570 gallons.
Wow.
The last major painting of the White House was in what year?
Right now, it's getting whitewashed. Oh,
that's what. Well, my guess is they probably paint every seven to 10 years. So why don't we say 2012?
You know, at least according to these questions, it was 1989.
What?
Wow. The stripping, when they stripped, they found a minimum of 40 layers of paint that needed to be removed.
That's 30 years that it's been without that's impossible. There are houses on my block that have 7 years need a paint job. They must use quality paint.
I have a quibble as a scientist. You did not indicate whether it was U.S. gallons or British gallons.
Very good point. Very good point.
I also think the current president probably put aluminum siding on too. So,
oh no, he's built himself a wall, and the people have taken it over and decorated it, which is great. So all the fencing Trump put up so he could be, you know, serene and secure in the White House. People have put up all kinds of signs about Black Lives Matter and everything else. I mean, they're really, you know, so much for the people's house, which it's supposed to be.
I can't help but not let this go by without mentioning that one of my favorite internet bits from the last couple weeks is that one weird night when all the lights went out at the White House. And of course, everybody noticed my Halloween buddies put "We'll be opening soon Spirit Halloween store" like poster, you know, on the White House. And I was like, oh, that's cute. How many rooms are there in the White House?
234.
Too high.
135.
Are they asking about the residence or including the West Wing? I mean, the phrase White House is actually kind of ambiguous, I think.
That is true. But I think I just heard 135. It's 132 is what it says here. 132. Yeah,
I was just counting the bunker. That's all.
Oh, my gosh. So that total includes the official residence of the first family, which is 25 bedrooms, 3 dining rooms, 3 kitchens, but only 1 library, 6 stories, based on what you can see versus what's underground.
Wait a minute, who designed this? Mike Brady? I mean,
James. And there's one bathroom for 8 people.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Homer, Ohio, September 23rd, 1838. Who was the first woman to run for the presidency of the United States?
Oh, Jim would know this. Oh, what was her name?
Her journal that she published would gain notoriety as the first to publish Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto in English.
Was it Emma Goldman? No.
No.
That's not what it says here.
No, Jim had mentioned this to us because we've had this before. She actually, she ran for office even though they couldn't vote yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
She established the Equal Rights Party and ran for the presidency. So she was born in 1838. She ran in 1872, pre-suffrage.
But one of the Grimke sisters?
No, it says here initials were VW.
Victoria.
Partial VW. Credit.
Oh.
It says here is Victoria Woodhull was her name. She was the creator, editor and author of Woodhull and Claflin's weekly newsletter.
Okay.
I put 0.5 because Victoria.
I'm sorry, my subscription to that paper lapsed. That's also.
Which U.S. president purportedly proposed to his wife at their first date?
Wilson?
Mm-mm. But Wilson's a good answer to pretty much all of these at this
point. I'm going with Carter.
It's not Carter.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Nixon.
Yeah, it was Dick Nixon. At age 25, it says here, Nixon auditioned for a community theater production where he met Thelma Pat Ryan, a school teacher. He proposed to her on their first date, and she laughed him off. Yes.
Yeah.
She should have remained laughing him off.
Yeah, she forgot about that, I guess, later on.
I have to point out that we had a very interesting discussion at the Mayo family dinner table a few weeks ago. One of my kids asked me, as if it was like some Simpsons bit, Dad, what's Watergate? So I explained it to them, and then he goes, okay, I want to make sure I get this straight. The president was so shamed that he resigned before anything could be brought against him because they bugged a hotel room. And I go, yes. And they're like still processing. So wait for tomorrow. And then I get up from the table and I leave. Like,
well, actually, it was the cover up of the breaking into the.
And yeah, but it's just.
It really was the problem. But yeah, yeah.
Those baby ears, Beth, it seemed pretty tame compared to daily life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my.
We have to admit there was a lot more work to do that in the 70s than it would be today. It's just a tremendous amount of work. It's just a lot more work to bug a hotel room.
It's true. Like tape recorders were the size of like a human being back then. You know, was... Who was the first U.S. First Lady who got married in the White House?
Wilson's second wife? Edith Wilson? No.
It wasn't Woodrow Wilson. I mean, that would have been that Wilson wasn't the first lady also, but you get the idea. It was
not Hugh Adams' wife.
Mm-mm. And it wasn't Hayes' wife either, Prasad.
How about Millard Fillmore? See, that's my other guy.
My other guy meaning names I like to say?
That's right, absolutely. Yeah,
Prasad's going to keep on using that till he gets till he finds a question for it, right?
Yeah, the problem is not with the answer. The problem is that the question hasn't shown up.
So how about some clues?
She was married in the White House?
Right, so she would have gotten married while her then-husband was already president. Her big claim to fame, my wife is a big first lady historian, is that she was the youngest first lady by age ever.
Jackie Kennedy?
Mm-mm.
That was a good guess. Mm-hmm. I like that guess.
Good guess, though.
Who? Like Dolly Madison?
She served as the 22nd first lady until her husband's defeat in 1888.
Well, actually, Rutherford B. Hayes is about the right time.
And just to complete the easy set of clues here, they're not easy. I get that. She also was the 24th First Lady of the United States.
Garfield. Is that it? No.
Cleveland.
Francis Cleveland.
Well, you got yours, Dave. You got yours. You got. Yep.
I don't have a horse in the race, so I mean, I'm.
Grover's wife.
Right, Grover Cleveland's wife. Yes, he was advanced in age when he married her, but her claim to fame, aside from being youngest first lady ever, was she was doing two full scale black tie ball gown parties a week for the entirety of his first term. So she was hot.
Oh.
Now on the other side of that coin, which first lady banned dancing and card playing in the walls of the White House? Definitely not.
This had to be somebody really religious. Okay, let's see.
Yeah. Who was it? I remember who was it?
Been Mary Lincoln.
Mm-mm. She was a devout Presbyterian and served as First Lady from 1845 to 1849.
Wow. Like I said, where's Jim?
She forbade her husband as a Sabbatarian Presbyterian from doing any official business on a Sunday.
This Taylor, Tyler, one of those tea guys?
Mm-mm.
18. Oh, I should know. 45.
Her folksy tale, if I remember this correctly from my wife, is she famously turned away a surprise visit from a high-ranking Austrian official who came to meet the president on a Sunday morning.
Well, we are not up on our presidents.
Okay. So the initials of the president would be J.P.
Polk.
Polk.
Polk. Yes.
Ed Polk.
Herochildris Polk.
Why is nobody getting my answer? I'm not getting credit for anything.
I'm very sorry, Beth. I'm sorry.
You are just a terrible human being.
Ah, hey, look, I asked for Jim Tubbs, and there's Jim Tubbs.
No, he just like appeared out of nowhere.
But he's late. We needed him, what, 10 minutes ago?
We needed him, like during Polk.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Where?
All right, we're going to make this a fair trade. So I wish you all the best of luck. I have to go on to the next one, but I'll see you again in 8 years.
In 8 years.
Good to see you, Jacob.
So we're glad to have you here, Jim, but I'm looking at my timer and we literally have 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay.
he still goes in the stat sheet. He still counts.
It's okay. It's okay.
I think you just need to ask him one question from that president's list. Maybe that last one.
Yeah. Which first lady banned dancing and card playing inside the White House, Jim?
Was it Grover Cleveland? Who was the one after him? Chester Arthur's wife?
Nope. Nope.
It wasn't Rutherford B. Hayes either. Or Millard Fillmore.
Couldn't have been Florence Harding or Nellie Taft or Grace Coolidge.
Ooh.
Now he's just showing off with all the wrong answers.
Yeah. I think it was in the 1880s, wasn't it?
This was the 1840s.
Oh, 1840s. Oh.
Think 5440 or five.
You know what? This makes me feel a lot better because if he didn't get it, what hope did I ever have?
Well, Beth did actually get it, so
she did. But you know, we're not giving her credit for it.
Gave you the obvious clue too.
Jim, it was another famous Jim. It was James Polk's wife, Sarah.
Oh, James K. Polk. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking there was a teetotaler in the 80s, though.
I thought Dolly Madison, or who was that one that?
She was no teetotaler.
No. But there's somebody else that banned, like, who was it, the Christmas trees or something like that too? Was it something like that?
Yeah, I've heard this before.
No, Edith Roosevelt did not.
Unfortunately, now that we're reminiscing about presidents and first ladies and what have you, the time has come for us to say goodbye. So, Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye. And hello.
Goodbye. I'll see
Professor
you.
Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Lindsay.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed from lots of different places that are not the Briggs Building. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.